This is the Power Podcast. My name is Sarah of Underground Crowds. We hit Bible topics,
smash book studies,
punch out some songs here and there,
and light up
His Word to strengthen our souls. Thanks for listening. All right, let's pray and keep going here in Matthew 8 and look at the Lord's example about boundaries. Or how we maintain them without being exclusive. I don't think we need to have an exclusive, cliquish sort of, that's sort of a worldly way of dealing with opposition or who we see as outsiders or a threat. When people become a threat, then you probably have a worldly concept of boundaries. When we think of boundaries and we think of setting them up in our life, it's not for our benefit. It's not so that we can be exclusive and have our own, you know, three friends, us three and no more, or us four and no more, or whatever that phrase is. It's not for that purpose. It's so that we can serve God fully and not get pushed off the rails with our alliances. So let's pray. Lord, I pray that you guide us through this, your example, and you were the example for us to follow. And I pray that you just lead us, and guide us through this next passage, this passage in Luke 8, and show us how we can, be mindful of putting up boundaries, but not exclusive in the sense that we set up worldly boundaries. In Jesus' name, amen. So, like I said yesterday, Jesus wasn't telling all these people to leave. Sometimes he would say something that he knew, I mean, obviously he knew would be offensive, and they left. But you don't really hear Jesus ever say, go away, unless he was in a context where what was happening overall, like when he would clean out the synagogue where people were selling and buying and selling in the synagogue, he cleared it out more than once, I think. And in that sense, it was a cleaning out, as you know, as it were. And but when it came to his ministry and what he purposed to do while he was here, you never see the go away, you're not welcome stance. And I know this is, I know this, we know this about Jesus, but I don't know that we act upon this. When it comes to our churches and our cliques and our subdivisions, our church subdivisions and our gated communities. And I know we can think of, you know, maybe areas where even, and why don't we just think of, you know, our context in our church. You know, there's maybe more diversity, maybe, you know, as you're reflecting, maybe there's more diversity that could be embraced in your church, or maybe you'd like to see more older people at your church, or, you know, whatever it is, whatever the church has become that's kind of not a quick resemblance of what heaven's going to be like, where it's all shapes, sizes, colors, you know, distinctions. I'm not sure that there's going to be anybody old in heaven, but we will see Moses. I mean, and, you know, if you're thinking in terms of years, that's a long time ago. You know what I mean? There's a reflection that the church should have. And so maybe we're not, maybe we would not see ourselves as someone that would say, go away, because we know Jesus would never tell somebody to go away, but maybe we say, go away in another way. And it's only for us you know, in our local community to reflect on. You know, we have too much breaching over the fence and you're doing this wrong. We've got a lot of that going on everywhere. But if Jesus never once said to anyone during his ministry on this earth, go away. I mean, he would even engage Pharisees and Sadducees and all these people that were trying to attack him, right? Then maybe we've set up some worldly boundaries in our church that maybe we didn't necessarily set out to do, okay? We didn't necessarily, you know, if you're over 60, don't enter. We didn't put up that sign anywhere, you know? But maybe there's something implied. Or maybe we've tried our best. And maybe to open the doors to a certain group. Nationality, ethnicity, age group. And now it's a matter of prayer. Sometimes the hurdle that we need to get over can only be done with prayer, because we don't know the demonic forces that are keeping our church from looking at like a reflection of heaven. We don't know what all is going on. All we know is who's on the throne. So let's keep reading. Yesterday we stopped at verse 4. Let's read verse 5. The sower went out to sow his seed, and he sowed. Some fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. The other seed fell on rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. The other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and with it and choked it out. The other seed fell into the good soil and grew up and produced a crop of 100 times as great. As he said these things, he would call out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." So we know what's happened. There's a huge gathering, huge following of people. And then he drops out of a common conversation that everybody can understand, and he moves into speaking in parables. And yesterday we said, you know, as far as, you know, a teenager keeps getting, you know, pushed off the rails, or the associations that you have, you're not sure how you end up in situations where, you know, where, okay, I'm at this party, how did I end up here, and there's stuff going on, I know I'm not supposed to be doing, you know, but what led to this? And we started yesterday with our conversation and what we share, right? What comes out of our mouth and what we share. And the third thing that we're going to address today is remaining focused. Remaining focused. So you may have to adjust yourself to remain focused. This is huge, because it is uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable to go against the flow, right? And even if you find yourself at a Christian college, or maybe your parents send you to a Christian school, high school or whatever, or maybe, you know, the situation is supposed to be Christian in all its forms, and rarely ever does that happen, okay? I have yet to, and I've visited at least a couple Christian colleges where in some cases it was worse than going to a public school. Clique-wise, coolness, who was cool, who wasn't, you know, just immediate labels, like immediate. And if you were sensitive to God, you know, God speaking into your life, and you were just weird, I mean, that was the background that I was from. You were just weird if that was your thing. And so we cannot automatically assume that every context we find ourselves in is a safe context. Here's the first lesson. You are not in a safe world. You are not in a safe world. You may have to adjust yourself. I have to start talking in parables. You have to focus on your purpose. And your purpose is going to go against the grain. Right away, Jesus goes against the grain in his speech. All these people got, it was the perfect time to reel them in, wouldn't you say? It was the perfect time to schmooze them into the Jesus movement. It was the perfect time to do that. What did he do? He stayed focused. He stayed focused. And he dropped in to speaking parables. Because what your purpose, God-given purpose, is going to go against the grain. Count on it. Count on it. You think Satan's like, yeah, green light. Dude, go. Go. Go with your bad self. Do all God wants you to. No. Satan does not have a green light on that issue. He is going to fight you at every turn. And if you want to be effective, if you do not want to get thrown off the rails, you have to stay focused no matter where you are. Christian school, church, public school, college, university, whatever that new job, whatever that is, you have to stay focused on what God has for you. Well, that's kind of a blur right now. I don't know. I mean, I'm just, this is freshman year. You're freaking me out. I don't even know. Remember the last week, maybe the week before? Just the next thing in front of you. I'm telling you, sometimes that is more than enough. More than enough to keep focused on. The next thing in front of you. What does that look like? What does that look like? Do your work? If you're going to college, if you're going to work, do a good job, show up on time. If you're going to a Christian school, when everybody wants to skip chapel, or this is actually pretty key. I think the biggest thing in a Christian school, university or whatever, is attitude. It's attitude. Because very attitude can get us off the rails. It's keeping, because it is so dang cool to be critical and cynical and negative. Hey, sign me up. I'm born a cynic. It's just too appealing. Just too appealing to slip off into not being edifying. To slip off into talking bad about your teachers. To slip off into skipping chapel, to slip off into negativity. I would say the biggest thing, the biggest obstacle, the biggest way to go against the grain in a supernatural way on a Christian campus or a Christian school is your attitude. Attitude. Do the next thing. Keep that good attitude. If you're in a public school, public university, you know the big ones, okay? We don't have to get into that. You know the big ones you're supposed to stay away from. So do the next thing in front of you well. Show up to your classes. You know that you are on this earth for God's glory. And what does God want to do? Reach people with his glory through you. Peace out. Again, thanks for listening. Catch the next part of this series, usually Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. You can also find Underground Crowds on Twitter, Patreon, Bandcamp, or undergroundcrowds.com.